Welcome to Narratives. Inspired by the stories of legendary American bluesmen traveling across country during the Depression, musician Benjamin Allman decides to walk 1,000 kilometres down the eastern coastline of Australia to help promote his new CD. The first few nights proved more difficult than he thought when freak weather tests his resolve.
Walking was easier with a tailwind. I even managed to gallop for long stretches using the guitar as a sail. A hairy man in outrageous flares, guitar held aloft like some talismanic spinnaker, hurtling through the pre-dawn maelstrom on his way to the toilets of Tallow Beach. I spent a spooky few minutes inspecting the dark caves of the men's and women's amenities with my lantern, half expecting a ghostly pale hand to reach out of the murk, or, worse, a rattled face grinning evilly and smacking its chops. The light from the Coleman was stark, comfortless, and only seemed to intensify the shadows. Satisfied that I was alone, I repaired to the female side, where there was more room and a long wooden bench that would serve as a bed. I stripped off, certain that no one would be coming in for the next few hours, hung up all the clothes and separated the wet stuff in my pack. Lastly, I unrolled the sleeping bag for the first time that night and poured my cold, naked body into its dry confines. Heaven. I turned the lamp down low, made sure the pocket knife was in reach. If threatened, I could offer a manicure or to open a bottle of wine, and thought about Di. I felt very far from her. The rain had washed the smell of her from my shirt. I fell into a light sleep, listening to the wild night rage and fume outside, this long, strange day, finally at an end. Someone was shining a torch in my face. I registered this slowly, unsure of where I was. Then the events of the night came back to me and my eyes flew open. I half rose before I recalled I was naked underneath the sleeping bag. I was badly scared. Fortunately, so was the torch-bearing stranger. He stumbled back into the stall door and said, "It's okay, mate. I'm the cleaner." Relief flooded through me. "Oh, sorry. Am I on your road?" "Nah, mate, you're right. Just checking the stalls." He eyed me speculatively, perhaps making sure I was bolted together right. I did my best, but was hampered by the fact that my clothes were hanging from every conceivable structure. I was clearly nude in a duck-down sleeping bag in the women's toilets during a gale, and at 5 a.m. no less. I smiled at him, but, bedraggled as I was, succeeded only in removing any remaining shreds of seemliness. I clearly wasn't a threat, however, so he relaxed and began tidying up the cubicles. "Yeah, bit wet out there, eh?" he said with admirable understatement. "I know, I just had to get out of it for a couple of hours." "Oh, don't worry about it, mate. You could stay in here all weekend. Won't be anyone coming down. This is set in. Forecast says it'll be like this till Tuesday." Tuesday. It was only Saturday. I couldn't stand the idea of being here for another 3 days, cooped up in the women's toilet. My cleaning buddy didn't notice my misery. He was cataloguing disaster with grim relish. "Worst storm in 30 years, they reckon. Bellingen's cut off. They're sandbagging the town right now. Lismore's in all sorts. Ballina's going under. Wouldn't be surprised if the Richmond burst her banks. Big storms up off the coast. Seas around 6 metres. No boats going out this weekend. Gonna work on me tan." He turned to me on his way out and said, "You right, mate? You need anything? There's a backpackers in town, you know. Better than this," he said, waving vaguely at the roof and walls. In the weird light of my lantern and his torch, he looked like a third-rate Phantom of the Opera. "I'll be heading in come morning," I said, without much hope. I'd have loved to be snug in a bunk in the hostel, but it was fully booked, and I suspected little would change with the wet weekend ahead. "Good idea," he said. "Get a few more winks. Uru." In the wake of this news, I called Di. Satisfied I was not in any imminent danger, she had then given voice to all the things that were rattling around in my head. I couldn't be expected to walk or promote anything in this horrendous weather. I wasn't adequately prepared for travelling. There were more storms on the way. She missed me. She could be there in an hour, pick me up, and take me back to sanity and a warm bed with her in it. I was close to saying yes. A strange lethargy was creeping over me, smothering the will to go on. In the end, I said I'd think about it and call her back. All I'd had so far was rain. I didn't yet know what it was like to walk in the sunshine. And there was something else, too. The suspicion that if I quit now, I'd never try again. I could see it now. Go back to the Gold Coast, back to the blue-collar work. No one would blame me. There's no sin in making an honest living. Chase the Australian dream instead of my crazy one. After a while, I'd forget what had moved me to attempt such folly in the first place. Get a mortgage, organise my super, raise a family. A good life. But, lying in bed late at night, I'd wonder what might have been different if I'd pushed on for Ballina during the big storm of 06. I called Di back and told her not to saddle up the rescue pony just yet. I told her I was still resolved to go on. I told her I loved her and that I was going to Ballina.
You've been listening to Benjamin Allman reading from his book, Footnotes. Narratives is produced by Karina Wynne-Moylan of Arts Canvas Bay FM 99.9 and is supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.